Thank you all. It's such an honor to be here. I am just so grateful and touched that I've been asked to speak to you. Again, my name is Ivy Sherbarth. I'm going to talk a little bit about living Duchenne. So a little bit about me. I'm from Fort Collins, Colorado. These are some pictures of my home. And these are my kids. My daughter Hazel here is 8 years old, and my son Rain is six. My background is in anthropology, which, as you may know, is the scientific study of human beings as a whole, just, you know, slightly broad-reaching. Anthropologists hope that by looking at our biology, our history, our culture, our languages, that we can understand something about human nature. And the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves in particular are extremely important for understanding who we are. I write a blog. It's called livingduchenne.com. I've been publishing Living Duchenne since 2008, which was just a few months after my son's diagnosis. And on the blog, I do my best to provide my perspective, expressed as well as I can, in an honest but a positive way as well. I blog because I want my story to be told, because I think we need a lot of stories about Duchenne, about living with Duchenne, stories of people doing really well, and stories of people maybe struggling. I think that if we can get those stories out there, we can perhaps provide a service to our community, and that's what I hope that I'm able to do. But I also have a selfish motive. When I write my blog and I craft my essay, I'm thinking about things that have happened in my life, and I'm deliberately telling the story in a way that helps me to feel more positive about myself, about my situation, about my life. Because a culture's stories are its identity. That's what we're made of. And the same thing holds true for individuals and families. This gives us a unique and special opportunity that we can use. We can actually choose which stories we tell ourselves about ourselves, and those stories can become our identity, which means we have this tremendous power to control and shape who we are by consciously telling the story we want to tell about ourselves. Anthropologists aren't the only people in the world who have noticed this. It's used extensively in psychology and cognitive behavioral therapy. It's essentially the discipline of positive self-talk, and it can be learned and taught through this practice. It's actually the most effective psychological treatment for depression and anxiety, more effective than any drug. And it's something that's free and that we can all learn how to do. Cognitive behavioral therapy is about learning to take control of our emotions, our personality, our identity, by becoming aware of our thoughts, which are the stories we tell ourselves, and then consciously shaping them to promote our own well-being, our own security, comfort, and happiness in a rational, fact-based, and lasting way. So when we tell a story, we're usually trying to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? What is the good life, and how do I achieve it? These are questions that have been asked since the dawn of time and will continue to be asked by humans as long as there are humans. We also have some questions, some big questions, that are specific to Duchenne. This picture is a picture of Rain holding up a little sheet where he had drawn the picture, and he wanted to have me write down the questions so he could ask his favorite physical therapist some things about Duchenne and clinical trials. So, when we're telling a story about ourselves, it's a good idea to tell a true story, and a true story is going to be based on facts, and the facts of Duchenne can be truly overwhelming. Even as things have improved over time, and even as we hear all day today and tomorrow and yesterday about how things are getting better, the facts of Duchenne are still pretty stark, right? Duchenne is rare. In my state, only 1 in 7,000 boys have been documented to have Duchenne. That means that in my town, the one other family who has Duchenne we know of, but we've never met. Duchenne is progressive, of course, as we know, and it's fatal. It is. So these harsh facts lead us to some harsh feelings, and it can feel like Duchenne is inexorable, like it's unstoppable, even as we make progress toward getting better, and that it's overwhelming. And For some of us, Duchenne can feel like the biggest, most horrible, most important thing in our lives. Some of the time, all of the time. The bottom line is, Duchenne makes parents feel depressed and anxious, right? We're all preoccupied with the big question. But of course, that is why we're here. That's literally why we're here at this conference right now. We are all working on it in our own way, each of us doing our part to bring a cure closer to fruition, better, faster, now. Because now is all we've got. So when we tell ourselves this story based on facts, the facts may change slowly or they may not change at all. But the perspective that we place on those facts makes the story. Because even as we're working and striving and waiting for a cure, life goes on. And so we feel this pressure, but we don't have to wait for anything to tell ourselves a story to ourselves that can help right now. It could be a healing story. I love that picture of Rain with one of his doctors. So here's a quote from the blog. What if we did tell? What if we told a true story with facts in it to ourselves and our community? Could it be a healing story? Could it be a story that could comfort, console, inspire, teach, support, terrify, move us deeply, offer us hope? Could we tell thousands and millions of these healing stories until everyone everywhere was empowered to choose his own? So that's what I do with my blog. I tell my story, and hopefully by setting my example, you all can do it too, and we'll all be telling each other great stories of how we're living with Duchenne. On my blog, I've written a lot about where I was at the time, and I started with diagnosis. So this picture here really shows what my life was all about pre-diagnosis. We were not the kind of people who went to the doctor. We didn't know anything about Duchenne, had never heard of it. We knew that something was going on with our kids, but we were so sleep deprived that we could not possibly have identified it or understood how to deal with it on our own. This is what Rain looked like when he was diagnosed. He was 15 months old. The process of diagnosis was not easy, and I wrote about it somewhat on my blog. The process of understanding and accepting that diagnosis was even harder and continues to go on to this day, as I imagine it does for everyone here. Because the diagnosis of Duchenne affects the entire family. And when we got that diagnosis, my children were babies, right? It quickly became clear to us that we had also been in denial about our daughter's health needs. And the guilt and regret and sadness that we felt were truly overpowering. We were the kind of people, and are the kind of people, who needed to do something about it. And luckily, we found Parent Project very early on. And Parent Project gives us a framework where our talents, whatever they may be, can be used to further that goal of finding the cure that we all want. Here are some examples of some of the folks we know doing great stuff with Duchenne. Because the PPMD community is absolutely full of people who are fighting Duchenne by being positive, supportive, hopeful, and active. And this community has taught me something truly amazing. So go with me for the rest of this speech. It sounds kind of obvious, but think about it, right? Without changing a single fact, we don't have to be dying from Duchenne. We can be living with Duchenne. So think about that. Because actually, that's really a lot. It's profound. Changing the way we think and talk about Duchenne can have a huge positive impact on our quality of life right now. No FDA approval required, no waiting, no funding, no advocacy, right now. And that's why we're here. We're here to talk about improving our lives with Duchenne. Once we've got that idea of living with Duchenne in our minds, we can actually go deeper and go to that final universal question. We can actually be living the good life with Duchenne, right? Another quote from the blog. Without the physical strength to move, we wonder, how on earth can our sons live happy, fulfilling, productive lives? How can our families incorporate this disease without disintegrating? Is there any way to mentally process all of this without falling apart? How do we do it? How do we live with Duchenne? Well, we just do. And we keep on doing it until we stop, right? Just like everyone else in the whole world throughout all time. And the meaning of life? Well, I think that the meaning of life is very much what it ever was. I think that our cultures, our histories, our cherished beliefs, these inform our sense of the meaning of life, and we know what the meaning of our own lives is in our hearts. Because the facts of Duchenne do not change the meaning of life. And as I go through this conference and get wrapped up in facts and details, I want to remember that the facts of Duchenne do not change the meaning of life. The meaning of life, of course, is to live it. And we are living it better, faster, now. Thank you.